Good morning and welcome to worship at St. John's Lutheran Church in Sydney, Ohio. We're grateful that you come to be with us, even though I look out there and don't see you. Few announcements. This Wednesday, we will go live at 7 o'clock with our Lenten series continuing. This week, we will hear from the centurion who stood at the foot of the cross and said, "This was God's Son." Next Sunday, 9 o'clock again. For Palm Sunday and Easter, I'm going to try and get all the sound and everything set up that we will use the organ and the piano and use the service like you guys are used to. Reminder to confirmation students, papers are due today. Email them to me. I won't count tomorrow as being late. I've received two. Thank you very much. A big thanks to Darren Davis for getting the Wi-Fi into the sanctuary so we could do this here. And a big thanks to Steve and Laurie Holt again for music, so we can have live music for this. Lynn for making many bulletin changes this week and then sending them out to you all. It takes many hands to make this possible for St. John's to be together separately. For those of you who don't know, you can download the bulletin for each of these services at the church's website, sydneystjohns.com. And we will try and have it available by Thursday of each week. Well, by Tuesday for Wednesday night. Please, look at the prayer list in the bulletin. Either call, reach out, somehow pray for these people on this list who are really isolated during this time. Let's begin our worship by making confession before our God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow in the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we're captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. During this time of turmoil and uncertainty, may the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see.
'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace.
The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures.
My chains are gone, I've been set free.
My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns.
Unending love, amazing grace.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Bend your ear to our prayers, Lord Christ, and come among us. By your gracious life and death for us, bring light into the darkness of our hearts, and anoint us with your Spirit, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
God speaks to us in Scripture, reading, preaching, and song. Our first lesson this morning is from the first book of Samuel, reading from the 16th chapter. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. And you shall anoint for me the one whom I name to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, "Do you come peaceably?" He said, "Peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." He sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and had beautiful eyes, and was handsome. The Lord said, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Samuel then set out and went to Ramah. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second lesson this morning is from Ephesians, beginning with the 8th verse in the 5th chapter. "Once you were in darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, 'Sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.'" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Those of you at home, rise if you're able. The gospel today comes to us from the 9th chapter of John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus walked along, he saw a blind man from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's work might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he said this, he spat on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and then spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. And then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, no, but it's someone like him. He kept saying, I am the man. But they kept asking him, then how are your eyes opened? He answered, the man called Jesus made mud and spread it on my eyes and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. And then I went and washed and received my sight. And they said to him, who is he? He said, I don't know. They brought to the Pharisees the man who was formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, he put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath. But others said, how can a man who is a sinner perform such signs? And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, what do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened, he said. He is a prophet. The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked him, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is now that he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, he is of age. Ask him. So for the second time they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. And he answered, I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. And they said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I've told you already, and you won't listen. Why you do not want to hear it again? Do you not want to become his disciples? Then they reviled him, saying, you are his disciples, but we're disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. The man answered, here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, you were born entirely in sins, and you are trying to teach us? And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, and who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him. And Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Jesus said, I came to this world for judgment, so those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, surely we are not blind, are we? And Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say, we see, your sin remains. The Gospel of the Lord.
Grace to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and Jesus the Christ. Over the past few decades, and even worse in the last month, our country has changed greatly how we relate to each other. Social media, too busy a life, the breakdown of neighborhoods, breakdown of families, lower participation in organizations like the PTA and churches. More troubling is the reports about the breakdown of a more basic American institution, the family. Many people are understandably concerned about high rates of divorce, the scattering of extended families, and the pressure to embrace new family configurations. These changes produce social distancing even before the current virus problem. Psychologists are aware of the side effects that social isolation can have for communities and individuals. Communities with more isolation tend to feel, and maybe are, less safe. People often have less stability when they're isolated from friends and loved ones. And a recent study suggests that they may be less happy, too. I've witnessed this in my ministry. How some of our seniors seem very lonely and possibly depressed when they're living at home alone and can't get out, and they have no real contact with friends and family. But I've also seen them kind of come alive when they move into a retirement home where they're around others, where they sit and eat with others, where medication is administered on time. But the real benefit is the companionship that comes from a being around others. I've seen people who were appearing very confused, and the family was wondering, would they have Alzheimer's? And when they put them into a care center, they like woke up. Happiness is contagious, and we're more likely to catch it if we're hooked up with happy family members, friends, and neighbors. Now, in light of some of these concerns, people look nostalgically to communities of the past, in which people were thought to be more connected, attentive to one another, and supportive. That was when people knew how to take care of each other, or did they? Our gospel today tends to collapse all of our presuppositions about the strength and health of earlier communities and family systems. When we read this text carefully, each of the supports which we assume were in place for the blind man failed to deliver for him. This text narrates the story of Jesus healing a man who'd been blind from birth, and the reactions of his community, religious authorities, and even his family. And this story gives us several surprises. First, the community's reaction. After his healing, they don't even recognize the man who was born blind, which I find is odd. The man has lived in their midst all of his life. His neighbors have interacted with him, perhaps helped him across the street, draw water from the well. They have worshiped with him. So why is it they fail to recognize him after he's healed? Is it because the only marker of his identity was his blindness? Was it his blindness the only thing they could ever see in him? Was that his identity? How do we identify and come to know people who are different than us? Do we allow disability to be a defining marker? Or are we able to look upon that and recognize the humanity of each person? How limited or keen is our sight when we're with people who are different than we are? What about church? In this gospel lesson, the religious leaders seem to want to control the story. The Pharisees don't want to hear or believe the man's story because it opposes the story that they want to tell. They want Jesus to be the sinner, not the hero in this story. They want another explanation, one that leaves them in control of all the religious goods and services. Perhaps it's a surprise for us to realize that even in the first century, religious authorities have fought over ecclesiastical authority. The privileges of defining sin or dispensing grace are powerful. And it's no surprise that religious authorities covet them. In one form or another, we have fought over these privileges for centuries, and we continue to do so. This text convicts the religious leaders who battle over definitions of sin and gifts of grace, and who allow those battles to obscure God's presence in our midst. How do we get caught up in similar battles? What issues or preoccupations divert our attention from God's presence and action and passions? As the community and his synagogue fails the man born blind, even his family backs away from him, and his parents put their own safety before his welfare. Now, maybe we can understand an older couple being reluctant to sacrifice their home and community for their son, but I think we would expect them to celebrate with him, to be joyful over his healing. And there's nothing like that to be found in the text. The parents' fear of being cast out of the synagogue overwhelms their joy, and they abandon their son. The community fails. The religious authorities fail. The family fails. The only trustworthy figures in this story are the man born blind and Jesus. The man tells the truth, and even in the face of threats of abandonment by his community and family and expulsion, he sticks to his guns. I was blind, but now I see. I could not see, but now I do. Again and again, the man witnesses to the saving grace he's experienced in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only one the man can trust, and he's the only one we can trust in this story. Although the Pharisees lay claim to dispensing grace, it's Jesus who transforms. It's Jesus who heals. It's Jesus who stands with the man in his final isolation. And there he stands with us too. Sometimes when the sun is really bright or when an artificial light is intense, we need to squint or shut our eyes, and the brightness seems dangerous to us. And the reflex is automatically. Metaphorically, we see this human reaction unfolding in today's gospel as the light of the world shines bright. And the community, the Pharisees, and the man's family shut their eyes. What they believe is in self-defense. That's kind of the intuitive thing to do. But it's wrong. The light of the world is in our midst, and we need not shut our eyes. In fact, the best thing to do is to open our eyes wide. We will not be blinded by the light. We will be saved. I want to think about what's going on in our world today. Schools closed, many businesses closed, many places where people come together are closed. We are worshiping together separately for some time now. Some tiny organism we cannot see has forced us to be physically distant from one another. But we are not spiritually distant. We are church. We are together. I think this condition that all of us are lamenting about offers us a great opportunity. One of the most important threads in the fabric of our lives is our immediate family. Many families haven't sat down at the dinner table together in a very long time. Everyone had practices to go to, performances to go to, athletic games, working late, any one of a host of reasons that the family was not together. I think it would be very life-giving and wonderful for family to use this time where outside distractions are on pause. Use this time to reconnect with each other. Eat meals together. Have discussion about how each one of you feels about the disruption in their lives. Make plans to do something together that doesn't involve travel. For years, our family has enjoyed board games of various kinds. The point is to come together with the people you love. Parents, catch up on what's going on in your children's lives. Let them share their successes. Listen to their fears. Make this a time of reconnecting. Make the "I can't see you because you're not here" be put on hold during this time. Jesus can see you, and he does. Have some family devotions and invite Jesus into your midst. Let the children lead some of these devotions. Let the members of your family see the faith of each other. Open my eyes that I may see is more than physical vision, like our man in the gospel received. It's truly seeing each other. May you see Christ in your life at this time and all those around you. May the peace of the Lord be with you. Amen.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Let us profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Turning our hearts to God, who is gracious and merciful, we pray for all who are in need. God of insight, open our hearts and lead us to tell of your deeds of power. Let us not be silent in this time when many are walking away from you. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of insight, give us wisdom to care for the land this spring and all living things that dwell in it and beneath it. Provide rich soil for crops to grow. Bring rain to lands suffering drought. Protect hills and shorelines from damage caused by erosion. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of insight, we pray that you will give insight to world leaders so that they will work to bring peace to all people and nations. Lift up leaders who will seek goodness and righteousness and truth on behalf of all, and frustrate the efforts of those who would seek to cause violence and terror. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of insight, we ask for protection from all the COVID-19 virus that is holding the world captive. Please be with healthcare workers and providers who cannot distance themselves from their patients. We ask for patience for all of us during this time of uncertainty. Give us wisdom what we can do to slow the spread of the disease. We may be worshiping you away from our building, but the Church of St. John's in Sydney is very much active as we come together with modern technology. We don't know your plan for tomorrow and the next day, but we trust that your caring hand is upon us. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of insight, you care for our needs even before we ask. Come quickly to all who seek prayer this day. Calm the fears of many who are struggling to understand the events of our world. Bring healing through the work of doctors, nurses, physical therapists, mental health workers, and all who tend to our human life. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of insight, help this assembly as we adjust to worshiping in new ways, as we keep our distance from each other. Encourage all of us to spread the word how others can watch worship remotely. Help us to be creative and brave in making our facilities and our ministries accessible to all. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
According to your steadfast love, O God, hear these and all our prayers as we commend them to you through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
As we've been brought together by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as our Lord taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial. Deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And now may the protective hand of God Almighty be on you. May the peace of Jesus Christ be with you, and the guidance of the Holy Spirit lead you forth each day. Amen.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
I'm trading my sorrows, I'm trading my shame, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness, I'm trading my pain, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. I'm pressed but not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. I'm blessed beyond the curse, for His promise will endure, that His joy is gonna be my strength. Though the sorrow may last for the night, His joy comes in the morning. I'm trading my sorrows, I'm trading my shame, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness, I'm trading my pain, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord.